Recovering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBAV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Welcome to 95.3 WBEV and Community Comment. And before we throw it over to Terry Bell, I wanted to remind you it's brought to you by Professional Floor Covering and Abbey Design Center at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. Find them on proflr.com. They are locally owned. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space with over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops. Speaking of the flooring, again, they have carpet, hardwood, laminate, LVP, tile, stone, and area rugs. Randy and his team will come out to measure, provide suggestions on type of flooring at price points that meet your budget. Now, without further ado, we will throw it over to Terry Bell for today's Community Comment.
Thank you, Jake, and welcome to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. We're going to be talking about a number of things happening around Wisconsin, and particularly how legislation affects those. With State Representative Andrew Heisel, newly sworn in representative from Sun Prairie. Representative, good morning.
Terry, good morning.
Nice to be talking with you. So this is your first few months in the state legislature. How has it been going so far?
I would say it's been a real honor to serve here in the state legislature. The past few months, I've gotten to know colleagues both sides of the aisle. Got to know a lot of the staff who work here, and very impressed by the dedication of our the representatives and the staff that come in here every day to get this work done. I do want to mention, too, that I represent the 40th Assembly District, which includes Sun Prairie, the far east side of Madison, but it does also include counties and townships in Dodge, all the way up to Columbus.
Yeah, absolutely. And we appreciate you taking the time to speak with your constituents and people who are also interested in hearing your perspectives on how things are going in the legislature. And of course, it's that time in the cycle. It's budget time, and probably the most important time every 2 years for the legislature, and some of the most contentious. And we are experiencing what we see happening in a lot of recent budget cycles, and that is the governor proposes a budget, and historically the legislature works off that proposal. But what we've been experiencing in Wisconsin in recent budget cycles is the legislature just sets that aside and says thank you very much, and then goes about drafting its own document.
Yep, that's correct, Terry, and this year is just like previous sessions in that regard. A lot of it is somewhat political theater, because what the Republican legislature does after tossing the governor's budget, they then bring many of the pieces back in. Essentially, the same components are brought back in. However, there are some pieces that are not being brought back in, and one of the pieces that I'm strongly supportive of is child care counts. Child care is a service for working families. It was in the governor's budget. They pulled it out. So I'm really excited to be one of the authors of legislation to invest $220 million a year over 2 years to provide high-quality child care to folks in Wisconsin. I'll just say quickly, 70% of rural Wisconsin, in 70% of rural communities in Wisconsin, there are three or more children for every opening in child care. And the costs are so great for those available spots that people aren't able to work and pay for childcare, which hurts the economy.
Yeah, and I definitely want to get to, there's a lot to talk about with childcare in Wisconsin, and we're going to get to all of that. Before we do, education funding, very important. Well, before even we get to education funding, I'm curious to know, we just had the new legislature sworn in at the beginning of this session, and we were talking about some of the adversarial relationship between the governor and the legislature in past recent sessions. How do you feel now that the things are a little bit different? You have more Democrats in the legislature than before, not a majority by all any means, but has the changing makeup of the legislature had any impact that you've been able to see?
That's a really great question, Terry. Since I wasn't here in previous sessions, I can't really compare it. But from what I understand, we were hoping, I think, that there would be more collaboration than is currently existing. That being said, there has been some opportunities to have conversations about issues where Democratic votes might be needed. And I think that's encouraging. I do believe that this state, our state, benefits when we can collaborate and work together and find common ground. And I'm really hopeful that as in the days ahead, we can continue to move towards that objective. I don't think the partisan rancor helps anyone.
Do you see anything coming back into the budgets that you could support and you think that Democrats and Republicans can find some common ground on?
So I think what we really need to do, and I guess that's a really good question. I would just say that we need some big changes that have been, the can has been kicked down the road far too long. And we're seeing these operating referendum and these school referendum across the state in record numbers. And it's essentially, in my view, the state is not providing its fair share of funding to support local governments and schools. And they're forcing these localities to raise taxes on themselves. And that needs to change. If that's in the budget, if they agree to, you know, restore the power of communities to raise the levy limit and also to increase state funding so there isn't this shortfall every 2 years, I would be supportive of that.
You know, there were historic changes to shared revenue, that state help that does go to communities around Wisconsin. It sounds like you feel that that's really not having the impact it was designed to have.
I feel it wasn't enough. And I think that's evidenced by the fact that if you look at the numbers, we're so far behind because of what happened back in 2008 when this policy change was made that put us on this path of unsustainability, that what they did last session was pennies on the dollar. I mean, inflation, we keep talking about inflation hurting consumers. When you disconnect the state aid from inflation in 2008 and you project yourself all the way to 2025, you can see that a few pennies last session are not going to offset that shortfall. And that's really what we're looking at. Like, it is not responsible for the state to take credit for a tax cut, an income tax cut, while they're forcing localities to raise taxes on the very same people. To me, that's a disconnect. It's disingenuous. And that's why if they would agree to work to do something serious about this so that we wouldn't have to have these referendum every 2 years, I would absolutely support that.
Very good. We got a lot of ground to cover, including, as we alluded to earlier, a very critical month coming up for child care funding in Wisconsin. We're going to take a break here and be right back with State Representative Andrew Heisel right here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Actually heard that?
What in the world was that?
Stream on demand on the audio page at DailyDodge.com.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And we are going to sneak in another read here for McKinstry's. Our friends over there have some great picture framing services. McKinstry's HomeFurnishings.com in downtown Beaver Dam. They are on Front Street under the red awning, celebrating their 167th year anniversary. They can frame anything over at McKinstry's. They can even frame a guitar. McKinstry's Home Furnishings stocks a large selection of picture frame moldings and conservation mattings and glass. This ensures a prompt and proper professional framing of your needlework, family photos, wedding pictures, oil paintings, wildlife prints, and award certificates. Best of all, you'll be amazed at the low everyday prices. Let McKinstry's sale designers help you select the right frame and matting to enhance the beauty of your artwork as well as your home. Take your frameable pieces to McKinstry's Home Furnishings. You will be very happy you did. And now we will throw it back over to Terry Bell for today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV.
Thank you very much, Jake. Welcome back to Community Comment. And we are talking to State Representative Andrew Heisel, Democrat of Sun Prairie, talking about a lot of different ways that legislation in the state capitol is affecting people right here in the WBEV listening area. Representative Heisel, we talked a little bit earlier about childcare and how crucial that is. People depend on it. We are in a two-income household, or people who are single parents have to leave the home to go to work every day. They depend on childcare to get that done. But a boost to childcare funding that became available during the pandemic, that money is running out, and that is set to end in June. And the University of Wisconsin in Madison surveyed childcare centers around Wisconsin, and a full 25% of them said that's going to be it for them. They are not going to be able to afford to keep the lights on once that pandemic funding runs out. So, you know, what kind of scrambling is going on behind the scenes to, make sure that that doesn't happen?
Yeah, Terry, thanks for sharing that information. It's a really important issue, as you noted. Child care is an investment in our families. It's an investment in our children, and it ultimately is an investment in the economy. We are the only state, believe it or not, of the 50 states that does not put state funding into child care. And you're right, the federal money has run out. If we can put some funds into this, which this bill that I've authored along with my fellow Democrats to put $220 million a year for 2 years, this would really support families who are working. Like you said, two-income earners are required these days, right? And we don't want to have these families looking at childcare as a wealth destroyer. We want them to look at health as childcare as something that's helping their children be safe, healthy, and help them be educated in those early years before they go to school. I really see this as like prioritizing the role of the government to help working people as opposed to maybe more well-heeled interests. Our funds should go towards folks who earn a paycheck and think about things like childcare, and that's why I really strongly support putting dollars into these programs.
Governor Evers put $500 million for childcare in his budget proposal. Is that one of the things that got struck as the majority Republicans build their own budget?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess then what can be done?
Well, what can be done is, I think, like you alluded to earlier, we have a more evenly divided legislature. And believe it or not, that actually can help because there's a need to consult across the aisle. And I think we'll, as Democrats, continue to make the case that the state should be investing in families. It should be investing in workers over well-heeled special interests. And I think there's some Republicans that I think are receptive to that message. And I'm hopeful that they'll join us to support this legislation that we've introduced. Obviously, I'm realistic, but we're going to keep making the case because this is what we stand for.
I wanted to maybe add some perspective on this. So we're talking $400 or $500 million for early childhood care under the age of five, and that's when, kids require the most attention. You need your classroom ratios to be you need more teachers to teach younger kids is the point I'm trying to make. But, you know, I'm looking at an article that says that, you know, we spend $14 billion on schools in general. It would seem that $400 to $500 million is just a fraction of that, and I would assume quite doable.
I think, Terry, that's a great observation. I appreciate that. I think it's doable, and you're right. The return on investment with very young children, when you provide educational interventions, research has shown that those children, you get a much better return on investment because the younger a child is, the more quickly they learn. And, for example, a child who cannot read by the fourth grade, their chances of them catching up are much lower than if you reach a child maybe when they're 3 years old and start working with them on early literacy skills. So it's a really good return on investment. It really does pale in comparison to what we put into public schools. We should continue to fund public schools, but we should also focus investments on early education. I am concerned because the Head Start program, which is the last of the programs put through backed by the Lyndon Johnson administration that was a federal to local grant for early childhood education, is basically being eliminated by the Trump administration. I think that just will exacerbate these problems we're seeing, the problem of a lack of investment in early education. So I think in Wisconsin now we really need to step up to help our kids and to help our families.
That UW study that I mentioned, they surveyed child care centers around Wisconsin. The closest to Beaver Dam was in Portage County, where they spoke to child care providers. Half of the child care providers would have to shut down if nothing is done to replace the federal money that's going away in June. So then what happens next then? Where do working families go to take care of their kids?
I mean, some of them are going to, you're going to have some different things happen. You're going to have people finding sort of alternative methods for childcare that may not be with a licensed childcare provider. They might be relying upon family members. The bottom line is a lot of them are not going to be able to work. And that is what is ultimately really frustrating about this issue, is that we want to help people hold full-time employment. It's good people benefit by working full-time. We know that's the case. As productive members of society, they can take care of their family. We should be supporting work, and child care supports work. It helps the kids, and it helps the parents. It is a no-brainer. It should not be a partisan issue.
What are you hearing from employers? I mean, the impact on families is pretty obvious, but, you know, employers, businesses are struggling as it is to find people to hire. Well, what are they telling you about the need for some sort of compromise or reform?
I mean, Terry, that's another good point. Employers are some of the strongest advocates for investments like this, because if you say, well, it should be the employer's responsibility to pay for childcare, you can do that. But if an employer is unable to pay a salary and provide all these benefits, then they're in a situation where they literally can't afford to hire workers. And that ultimately, you know, you also don't want to make it so that certain people have childcare and other people don't, be based upon their employer. If you can uniformly provide it for everybody, all boats rise. It's good for the economy. It's good for all families, not just those who are lucky enough to work for an employer that does provide that kind of support.
You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. We're talking to State Representative Andrew Heisel of Sun Prairie. His district extends as far northeast as Columbus, and we're pleased to have him with us today talking about issues facing the legislature and the people of Wisconsin. We need to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
While you're tackling your spring cleaning, keep St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County in mind. Declutter and give back. St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County is accepting donations of gently used clothing, household items, kitchenwares, and more. Your items help support families in need within our community. St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County is open 8 to 7, Monday through Saturday, located on Dodge Drive in Beaver Dam. Shop, save, support St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County.
God bless from your friends at St. Vincent de Paul. Catch Z's with Slumberland and catch all the excitement happening at 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, on now at the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump administration says it will appeal a three-judge federal court's ruling that he overstepped his authority, the president that is, when implementing the tariffs on China and other countries. The State Department says it will revoke visas of students from China who may have ties to the Communist Party. ABC's Britt Clenett in Hong Kong.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio, he's been vague on what exactly it means to have links to the Chinese Communist Party, while any action is on the one hand sending a message to China's party elite. Some who do send their relatives to study in the States. Also, the policy could potentially eliminate levels of infiltration. But Rubio said that as part of the plan, criteria will also be revised to enhance scrutiny of future visa applicants from not just mainland China, but here in Hong Kong, too.
Today, Harvard University, target of many Trump attacks, holds its commencement. Musk quits Doge. Elon Musk saying his work heading up the Department of Government Efficiency is over. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
The city of Mayville has set up a disaster relief fund to help people hit by tornado damage back on May 15th. Mayville Engineering Company and Modern Woodmen have already pledged, with other businesses coming on board. The fund will be put toward cleanup efforts and other things not covered by insurance. A Madison man faces charges with neglect after a six-year-old shot themselves in the head Monday morning. Channel 3000 reports Zaheer Powell is charged after a six-year-old found a gun in the living room and accidentally shot themselves. The child was in critical condition, last we knew. Powell legally owns the gun. He was watching the children. Powell is charged with felony child neglect. Bond is set at $7,000. Free swimming is back at the Fox Lake Aquatic Center. Local businesses and nonprofits sponsor a day of no-cost swimming. The swimming season starts June 7th and runs through August 16th. The pool will be open from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. on weekdays and from noon to 7 p.m. on weekends. The Aquatic Center is on the East State Street in Fox Lake. And finally, you can use your library card to check out the great outdoors. Library card holders at the Beaver Dam Community Library can get free one-day admission at any Wisconsin state park, forest, or recreation area. Passes are first come, first serve, while supplies last. To check out a pass, you need to know roughly when you're going, and the vehicle you take must have Wisconsin license plates. You can visit as many parks as you wish on the day you choose to go. Contact the Beaver Dam Community Library to find out more. I'm Justin Wilski reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
Chance for storms today, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 69. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance of thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 52. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Storms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 78. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Thinking about selling your home in 2025? Well, unless you have a crystal ball or a time machine, it's best to start planning now. At Kladowski Real Estate, we don't bite, we don't pressure, and we definitely don't make you sign anything in blood. Just a relaxed chat about your real estate questions, dreams, and wants, even the weird ones. Spring market's here, and it's the perfect time to get ahead of the game. At Kladowski Real Estate, people are the priority, and we've got answers, snacks, and probably too many pens. Call today and let's talk real estate. Kladowski Real Estate, your trusted real estate advisors.
Since 1998, the Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon has distributed nearly $3 million to nonprofit organizations serving children in Dodge County and the surrounding areas, and you can help make a difference. Help support the cause by donating an item to our 27-hour on-air live auction, hosting a fundraising event, or making a monetary donation through Venmo. To learn more, visit dailydodge.com/radiothon.
Alzheimer's disease affects more than 6 million Americans, and nearly two-thirds are women. Hi, I'm Cherie Sample Hughes, Chair for Women in Government. Alzheimer's disease progresses slowly over 10 to 20 years in stages. A timely diagnosis may allow for more options and bring new hope. This May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Talk to your doctor if you notice any memory or thinking issues in yourself or a loved one. Find more information at womeningovernment.org.
providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And we are back with more community comment here on 95.3 WBEV. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you, Jake. We are joined by State Representative Andrew Heisel, a Democrat of Sun Prairie, talking about different issues that lawmakers are seeking to address to help the public. And as we just heard in the last spot break, as we call it in the business, May is winding down. May is Mental Health Month. And we were talking about, you know, perhaps opportunities for bipartisanship with the new makeup of the state legislature. And Representative Heisel, you know, there's a bipartisan package of six bills in the legislature seeking to address mental health. That was introduced way at the beginning of the month. Get us caught up as to what these bills do and how they're faring in the process.
So are you talking about the votes we had on the floor of the assembly?
Yes, and on the bills about? That were introduced back on early May.
Okay. So we considered a number. I mean, basically what's happened is, first of all, I want to thank my colleagues across the aisle for bringing to the floor a resolution on mental health awareness, for making the month of May Mental Health Awareness Month. That was authored by the Republican majority, and I was happy to support that. My take on this is mental health care is health care, and it's something that it's really important, especially when we consider children. In Wisconsin, the counselor to student ratio is 387-1, and the Psychological Institute recommends that it be 250-1. School psychologists and counselors are really important because they provide not only academic support, but also mental health support, and most importantly, referrals, especially to identify a kid who's at risk. So I really appreciate the fact that we were able to vote on that. It is symbolic, but it does focus people's attention on the issue, which is important, and I look forward to, you know, in the future, continuing to highlight the issue and actually advance policies that will support kids.
Is there any particular bill, I should say, grammar, that particularly makes you hopeful that you're going to be able to do something for the betterment of kids who are struggling with their mental health?
Sure. I mean, I'll be honest, the governor put a investment in his budget, again, to support mental health services. That was withdrawn, that was jettisoned by the Republicans. So I'm not super hopeful in the near term, but I'm hopeful that we had people come up and visit with us. I met with school counselors from Columbus, Sun Prairie, who tell me about what they're seeing with kids. They're seeing kids being affected by the after effects of the COVID, being, you know, separated from their peers and being very stressed out by that whole process. And then the ongoing problems associated with social media, they're really weighing on kids' mental health. And I meet with these school counselors from the district. They inform me of this. They meet with my colleagues, Republicans and Democrats. And my belief is their advocacy and education over time will hopefully win some minds and hearts over to address this issue, because it's really important. It's what kids face today is not what you and I faced when we were kids. It's gotten much, much harder on them, and it's affecting their mental health, which is affecting their academics and their life. And it's potentially putting them at risk over the course of their life. So I really feel like this is, again, should be a nonpartisan issue. We should all come together to support our kids' mental health.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, in this day and age when mental health crises seem to be more common, you know, one thing that happens if someone's in crisis, they call 911. And a lot of these situations are handled as law enforcement issues, perhaps rather than a healthcare issue. So, you know, we send a police car maybe instead of an ambulance. And one of the bills would require, a different approach to a transport of minors. Is that bill still in play?
Well, I mean, it's in play in the sense that we're still in session.
Yeah.
But whether it's going to receive support from the majority, which is required to get it out of committee, I'm not hopeful. There is a program in Milwaukee and in Madison funded at the city level. The CARES program here in Madison is what it's called. And what it does is you have a special number. And so when they call the police or there's an incident, and instead of calling the police or even the fire department, they call this subsection of the fire department that has mental health experts, and they deploy to intervene in mental health situations, and you get better outcomes. Like you said, you call a police officer and somebody's maybe having some sort of a mental health issue, you call the police, that might actually make it worse. It's not the fault of the police. They just aren't trained necessarily to deal with people going through those sorts of issues. So when you have these mental health care professionals going out as part of like an EMS service and you have that option for people, it's incredibly valuable. And I am hopeful that example of how well that works. I mean, I went and toured their facility here in Madison. It's remarkable and it's really smart. And I'm hoping that provides an example. I would like to get other legislators in there to see it, because maybe then they would support something at the state level similar to that.
Another bill in this package of legislation, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, is the large percentage of young people who have to go out of state in order to get residential treatment. Apparently, there's a shortage in the minds of many of these types of facilities to meet the needs in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that is an issue. It's making sure that we have access here at home, because one of the hardest things you can do for somebody who's suffering from a mental issue is making them travel out of state and be separate from their family and their loved ones while they're being treated. So if we can increase the number of facilities with beds here locally, especially in rural areas, which again, rural areas struggle sometimes with access to healthcare providers, if we can have these closer to home, it's best for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently data from the Wisconsin Department of Children and Family shows that it's also, to make matters more troublesome, more expensive to care for these young people in residential facilities somewhere else than it is here. Stands to reason, but again, I think it might surprise a lot of people to know that that's happening. And
yeah,
the expense that is the taxpayers, too. I'm sorry about that.
No, Terry. I really appreciate you raising these issues. These are really good conversation.
Yeah, very good. So, yeah, so mental health, what sorts of things are you trying to, bring to the public's consciousness as May winds down?
In terms of mental health or just in general?
In general.
In general. Oh, yeah. So there's something I'm working on, actually, with Senator Jamie Wall. He's a senator from Green Bay. It's a study that we would direct the ETF, which is the entity at the state level that has a pool of an insurance pool for state employees. We would direct the ETF in this study to examine creating a pool for school employees. And the reason we were asking to look at this is that as a legislator, as a part-time legislator, I have access to a very great insurance program. And it's because it's managed at the state level. They're able to get really good rates because they cover a lot of people at the same time. They're able to negotiate good prices for their members. And I think school employees should have access to the same sorts of advantages. So if a small rural district is maybe buying insurance for 50 employees, the rates they're going to get are much higher than if they were part of a statewide pool. So not only would they potentially get better benefits, but they also would have lower rates. And that would save taxpayers money, in especially in rural areas, because they're the ones who are paying the most for health insurance, because, again, they're insuring very small groups of people. So we're asking the state to study creating a statewide pool that districts could opt into. So if a district, like a big district, is doing really well on their own, they could choose not to join the statewide pool. But if you're in a small district, let's say Columbus, for example, you join the statewide pool, you would have better insurance at a lower cost for local taxpayers. It'd be one of those win-wins. So I'm really excited about that, and we're going to be introducing that in the next couple of weeks.
We're talking to State Representative Andrew Heisel of Sun Prairie, whose district covers a good part of our WBEV listening area. And after we take a short break, we're going to be talking about a very important issue down the road in Madison, but affects a lot of people who live further out, and that's the nurses' strike happening at Unity Point Meritor. That's affecting a lot of people around here, and we'll talk more about that as Community Comment continues right here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, and more. From the first touchdown to the fifth quarter, game days in Madison are packed with excitement, tradition, and unforgettable memories. Seats and tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot and make sure you don't miss a moment of the action next season. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to secure your seat today. Wisconsin football game day starts here, and we'll see you at Camp Randall.
The May Gold Tag Sale at Professional Floor Covering makes it easy for you to get the flooring you want and need. Hi, this is Randy, owner of Professional Floor Covering. We've got an incredible selection of high-quality LVP flooring for you to choose from. You'll find a mix of trusted brands in stock to shop, like Cortec, Trends, Carendine, Mohawk, Southwind, and Adura. If you've got pets and kids, we've got the correct product for you. All flooring is on sale during the May Gold Tag Sale, including real pre-finished hardwood flooring, three-quarter solid, and engineered products. Shop 40 rolls of in-stock carpet. Every Abbey carpet in the store is on sale and comes with a 60-day quality assurance guarantee, which means if you're not happy for any reason, including the color, we'll take it back, no questions asked. We'll help you make sure your choice fits you and your lifestyle. Shop and save during the May Gold Tag Sale at Professional Floor Covering, 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam, and online at proflr.com.
If you have a lot of shopping to do for summer, then you're actually in luck. Because at Macy's, the latest designer trends are here now. From swimming sandals to match sets and linen suits, all for 20% off. But get this, spend $100 and get 25% off. Spend $200 and get 30% off. 30%! So the bigger your summer, the better. Because the more you buy, the more you save. But hurry, it all ends Sunday at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is 95.3 WBEV, and another segment here for Community Comment is coming up now with Terry Bell.
Thank you, Jake. We're talking to State Representative Andrew Heisel of Sun Prairie, talking about issues facing the legislature as they strive to help solve the problems facing people up and down Wisconsin. One of the things happening right now in Wisconsin that's pretty important is a strike happening down in Madison. Unity Point Health Meritor nurses are staging a five-day walkout. And Representative, I was just, interested in, tell us about what the issues are in that walkout and, how are people, to the north and east of this affected?
Sure. I mean, it's a regional Unity Health, the Meritor facility. It's a regional hospital. People come to it from around in the community. And so a strike there is a big deal. There's 1,000 nurses that are going on a five-day strike. They're represented by the Service Employees Union International. And they're striking. One of the big issues they're striking on is the nurse-to-patient ratio. They're emphasizing that it's getting worse, that's a problem for patient care. Statistically, the worse the ratio gets, the more patients that a nurse is assigned to, the worse the outcomes are, which makes sense. I think we're looking at, like, our healthcare system, and we have to ensure that, like, it is serving the people that need, that people are getting the care they need, and that measures to cut costs aren't harming that. And I think the nurses' strike is really about that. They also, I mean, these are people who've worked in this hospital their whole life, and they love their job. And this, like I said, this is a five-day strike. It ends on Saturday. They're also, you know, protesting the lack of fair treatment, wages, and what they would call basic dignity on the job.
You know, we've been hearing about, you know, nursing shortages for years, and that, young people looking for careers should look into nursing because it is a good job for which they could be hired right away. What is keeping us from getting where we need to be for the number of nurses? Because it's only going to get worse. Our population's getting older, and the demand for nurses is only going to go up.
For sure. I had the opportunity to sit at the Madison Community College graduation, and they had all their graduates. I think they had 750, and they had all their names listed in the brochure. And by far, the largest number was in the nursing program. So I think we are. And then I just went to Big Brothers Little Sisters, the nonprofit that pairs adults up with and mentors youth. I noticed a number of their graduates from high school were going into nursing. I think there's a real push on the educational and the training side to get more people into nursing, because you're right, Terry, there's going to be an increased need for it. It should be something we focus on. And we just have to remember that it just seems like every single year, the healthcare costs just keep going up, and the quality of the care can't go down. And I think that's really what we're seeing here is nurses are not, I would not say that nurses are highly paid individuals when you compare them to doctors or maybe the CEO of a hospital or an insurance company. And they deserve to have a living wage, and they deserve to, like, be able to help their patients and not feel like they can't provide quality care to them. So while we're focusing on trying to build a pipeline of nurses, we also have to make sure the nurses currently in the system are getting the resources they need and are being treated fairly.
What can lawmakers do? What can the legislature do to help facilitate, meeting the need, meeting this, supplying this demand, so to speak?
Well, there's a couple things we need to do. One is we need to support this kind of an effort by the workers to guarantee and ensure good care and good treatment of nurses and good care of patients, because ultimately that will, like, entice more people to go into the profession, because it'll remain a good job. We don't want to turn this into, like, a poor job that people refuse to go into. So I'm actually going to go down and walk the picket line with them today at 5 o'clock to show my support for what they're doing. I think in the legislature, we need to invest in providing access to programs to train people so that they can go into nursing and they can do so without incurring exorbitant large debts. We need to make sure, again, we're doing mentoring with high school students, because there's a lot of high school students that maybe would want to go into nursing, but they're not aware of it. So we can, like, facilitate that through mentoring programs like Jobs for American Graduates, for example. In the end, I think it's a multi-pronged approach, but I just want to emphasize that it's really important that we have organizations like the Service Employees Union and other unions representing workers, because it's the only way to really, at the local level, ensure that workers are treated fairly and that the services they provide, like, for example, in healthcare, are quality services.
Now, last I knew, there was a bargaining session scheduled for today. Is that still the case? And are you aware of, what issues they're going to talk about and how close the two sides may be to a resolution?
Well, that's a good question. I think the issues on the table, again, are ratio, nurse to patient ratios, things, benefits and pay. I will be down when I'm down there. I'll ask people how things are going. I'm curious. I'm hopeful the two sides are closer together. They've been negotiating without success to date. But in the end of the day, everybody benefits by coming together and finding, finding compromises. But I just think if it's only the employer making all the decisions and the workers really don't have a voice, I don't think you can be guaranteed of a good outcome. I think it's really good when you have workers coming together and organizing so that they too have a voice and they can represent that perspective in the decision-making process.
We've seen nurses asserting that collective leverage that they have, UW Health too. I know the nurses there and within the last year or two have been getting more vocal about what it is they need. This seems to be something that not only affects nurses, but they're talking about issues that affect all kinds of workers.
Exactly, and I think that's a great thing to emphasize, which is it helps all workers when you have workers in different sectors organized. You get things like the weekend. You get things like increases in the minimum wage. You get people. You get a voice advocating for the benefit of workers, things like childcare and investments in ensuring people have good retirements and good retirement benefits. It's really you just see it in states where there's robust labor unions in the trades and also in the public sector. You see that workers get a fair shake, and it makes sense because ultimately you need all the voices at the table, making sure that people's needs are addressed. And if you leave out all the workers, it doesn't bode well for the workers in the long run.
Andrew Heisel is a state representative for Sun Prairie, and his district covers a good many listeners to WBEV. I know you're a very busy man, so we appreciate you taking an hour out of your time to speak with us. I hope you'll be back with us next month.
Terry, I look forward to it. I really appreciate Daily Dodge and your focus on providing local news coverage for your listeners.
Very good. Our guest has been Andrew Heisel, a Democrat of Sun Prairie, a state representative representing Sun Prairie and the surrounding area. We want to thank you for listening to Daily Dodge, a community comment, that is, on WBEV 95.3, powered by Daily Dodge. Have a great day.